Ramsey TV.
Okay, let's finish the week here. Let's finish it with some real meat. Not that I haven't been giving you meat all week, but this is ribeye steak. The tastiest and actually most expensive cut of meat. But this is what you come here for, and this is what you get. We are delving into the deep things of God because God is giving us the hunger for the intricacies of His nature and of our call. This is a divine thing. Look around you. No one else really cares. Not many people really care about God. It is really quite shocking. The longer I go in this work, the more I realize just how few people really care. But you do, and that's why you're here. So let's get started. I got an email from a fellow believer named Gabe Alexander. Listen to this. He's bringing up a lot of things that I've been saying, but he puts it in such a way that these things really pop to me, and I think they'll pop to you too. He starts this by, "My dear intellectual Zender." Great start. Listen to this. "Allow me, please, to give you some advice." This is from Gabe Alexander, a fellow believer in Jesus Christ. "Don't ever apologize for being too intellectual. I had a show, was it last week, where I'm criticized, and some of you are also, for being too hung up on words and details and trying to figure out things with your natural mind. It is the mind that is given us by God, and we have no other means to understand these things. Albeit the mind is inspired by the Spirit. So you can either have a mind inspired by the soul, in which you get all emotional and weepy and Jesus-y, or you have a mind inspired by the Spirit." Back to the email. "I think the people who accuse you of being too intellectual are morons. And it saddens me to think that some of them are members of the body of Christ." I agree. Next sentence. "Here is the problem with most people. They labor," and this is really important, "they labor under the false notion that they have to feel God and His presence in their daily life." This is really great. I know I've told you this before, but this cannot be overemphasized. This false notion engendered by the Christian religion, which is really a groupthink experience, and it is exactly that. It's an experience that is centered not in the Spirit of God. No way. I would go as far as to say that they are practically void of the Spirit of God. It is centered on the soul, the emotions. And they do feel that unless they feel God, so important, such a stress that they put on emotions, on your feelings, which cannot be trusted, cannot be trusted. Because we can be crying, we can be upset, we can be depressed, and yet intellectually, oh no, there's that word again, but it is vital to understand that intellect is the avenue used by God to bring us details about Himself. They don't trust the intellect. They throw the intellect out and they focus exclusively, and I don't use that word loosely, I use it quite seriously, exclusively on the soul, and thus they have the emphasis on feeling God and His presence in their daily life. The problem with this is multiple. One of the problems is you become dependent on it, and if you don't feel it, then you think God is absent. And for those of us who maybe, quite possibly, never feel it, we think something's wrong. But nothing's wrong, because this is not how God invigorates us. It's not how He brings us knowledge and information. He brings that through the Spirit, which is not funny, it's not fancy, it's not colorful, it doesn't play well on Christian television, and it's the Spirit of God that animates our minds. Remember, be transformed, Paul says, I think it's Romans 12:3, by the renewing of your mind. That is, replacing the soul fuel goes into your mind with the Spirit fuel that goes into the same mind only this time it's invigorated by the Spirit of God. Back to Mr. Alexander. Worse yet, they equate these feelings with being spiritual. Look at how they have it totally backwards, totally opposite. They think that these feelings are spirituality. And at the same time, they point to people who are intellectual and say that we're not spiritual. Talk about a negative image of the truth. It is the exact opposite. That is, those who, through their spirit-inspired intellect, understand God's revelation, even though they don't have maybe corresponding giddiness, these are the spiritual people. And those who depend on feelings that come and go, these people are sure, they're just positive that they have the Spirit of God, but they are confusing the soul with the Spirit. And they've done it ever since there has been a thing as religion. In the book of Hebrews, Paul mentions the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, able to cut or distinguish between the soul and the spirit. These are the two considerations I am bringing forward to you today. Are you animated by the soul? That is the emotions, the soul. It's your five senses. The things you take in from the world through your five senses. It's all, do I want to say this? Yes, it's all physical. It's physical. It's not metaphysical. It's purely physical. You touch, you hear, you smell, you see, these are physical things. And they can't be trusted. Which again is not to say that as we become intellectually astute and we learn things about the nature of God, we do respond to these in a soulish way. But the soulish response is the caboose hooked onto the engine of intellectual revelation fueled by the Spirit of God. So our friend says they equate these feelings with being spiritual, totally false. Nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, this is the opposite of the truth, as you will usually find in Christianity. Continuing the quote, all humans are soulish, since we are all descendants of Adam. This is how we come out of the gate. Sensing, feeling, looking, hearing, touching. Thus, our emotions are a result of our soulish nature, and definitely not to be trusted in spiritual affairs. Because again, the spirit many times opposes it. Let's just say this, it's different than the soul. And while God does express emotions, and we read of these in the scripture, God is said to be angry, he is said to be love. Again, anytime God is said to have emotions, it's a figure of speech known as anthropomorphia. That's the fancy Latin name. It's condescension, where God condescends to communicate with human beings in our language. Gabe says, in no way can we equate his emotions with our soulish emotions. This is important. In no way should we equate God's emotions with our soulish emotions. Continuing the email, let us look at one simple fact. Colon, here's the fact. The soul is in the blood. Leviticus 17:11. What does this mean? Well, I brought you this truth before, maybe not lately. King James mistranslates it, says, the spirit is in the blood. That is not true. The blood is what carries our sensations. Thus, when you lose blood in your hand, say you're cold or you have a circulation problem, you lose feelings at the tip of your fingers, of your toes, wherever the blood loss occurs. And if the blood rushes out of your head, you pass out. There's no more sensation. Now, we know from the Apostle Paul, back to the email, that we are sown in a soulish body. This is the beginning of things. Christians make it the end of things. You must focus on your feelings, on your emotions, And these people just chatter, chatter. These Christians chatter, chatter, chatter. They sing, 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 sing. They just spool out these nonsensical ideas. And that's all they are about God. And they sprinkle it with Christianese. They use words like praise the Lord. Phrases like praise the Lord. Subjected to his will. Whatever phrases you want. The love of God. God is love. It's all phony. Because they don't know what they're talking about. And it's used to sprinkle this emotionalism with some semblance of truth. And it is generally sufficient enough to trick the unsuspecting, the unwary, the unintellectual. To trick them into thinking, well, this must be spiritual. I heard them mention Jesus Christ's name. I heard them talk about God. Don't be tricked. The deception today is so subtle. So, we know from the Apostle Paul, this is true. We are sown in a soulish body. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we are raised in a spiritual body. Very interesting. Once again, the soul is the primitive. The soulish body is the primitive. The spiritual body is the mature. And what will we be missing in our spiritual bodies? The blood. That's what. This is true. You'll remember when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, he appeared to his disciples, and he said, they were, of course, astounded. They thought they were seeing a spirit, a ghost. And Jesus said, well, does a ghost have flesh and bone as you see me having? And he invited them to touch him, to handle him. And indeed, he was flesh and bone. Missing from that phrase was blood. We know that our Lord's blood was removed when that damn soldier pierced his heart with his spear. But actually, that was a requirement of God to drain the blood. Now he's raised without it. And all the corrupting factors in humanity is in the blood. The blood is what is what corrupts. It also it is what gives life. Let's say it doesn't give life. The spirit gives life. Let's put it this way. It transports the life through the breath into other parts of the body. Not to get too anatomy and physiology on you here, but that's the way it is. So our Lord appeared without blood, and we're not going to have blood either. You're not going to miss it. Don't worry. Don't worry. I hate to see blood. I hate it. In any movies, if I see blood, I just turn away. Other people, they're crazy about it. They love to see it. More blood, please. I don't understand this, okay? Because this thing's going to go. Blood is going to go. It's a thing of the past. It's passé. Today, according to myself, it's blasé. I can't stand it. So, good riddance, blood. Bye-bye, blood. You know, screw you. Hate blood. Okay. And I'm in conjunction. Actually, I'm in uniformity. I'm flowing parallel with the Spirit of God there because blood will be taken out of the scene. Good. And if our spiritual bodies will not have blood, what else will they not have? Gabe says, they will not have a soul. That's what? Interesting. Don't panic. Don't panic. Don't think that because of this you won't have emotions, because as I've told you many times, we will feel good. The resurrection will feel good. Being united with Christ is going to feel good. Being made immortal is going to feel good. You can say, well, Martin, how can it feel good if you say the soul's in the blood? We're not going to have any more blood. The soul has to do with the emotions, the tactile functions of the five senses. How the hell are we going to feel anything? Well, it's going to be a spiritual, spirit-based emotions, not blood-based emotions. Back to Gabe Alexander, and if we will not have souls in our spiritual bodies, what else will we not have? Soulish emotions. Now, we may have emotions that are in line with God's emotions. There's a thing. Great phrase. I never thought of that. Our emotions will be in line with God's emotions, but they will surely not be soulish emotions because we were sown a soulish body. That is the primitive, the little seed, that little hard thing that goes into the ground and dies. That's basically how we're functioning now, except we are exceptional human beings in that God has given us his spirit, and that we now have two competing forces in us, the soul and the spirit, and it's the word of God that is able to distinguish between these. It's making us be able to understand, okay, that's soulish, that's emotion of mine, or this lack of emotion that I'm concerned about. I don't have enough emotions. Maybe I'm not a believer. All right, that's completely a soulish reaction to the lack of a soulish reaction. A bad check written to cover a bad check. Flee from that. Our competing energy now is the Spirit of God, and that is what causes us to understand that all these vexing thoughts about the soul are irrelevant. Forget about it, because the soul's passing away. That is, the soulish emotions are passing away. We're coming into new emotions that are stable, that are true, that are pure, and that are fueled completely by the Spirit of God. That's the difference between our bodies now and our bodies then. Ooh, what common word did I use there? Bodies. Yes, we are raised a spiritual body. We still have bodies. We're not going to be wisps. We're not going to be Casper the Ghosts. But these bodies are then 100% fueled by the Spirit of God, not by the soul. Christians, they mistake soul for spirit constantly. My soul yearns for God. There's some legitimacy to that, just because as we're presently constituted, we are fueled by blood, and that's all we got. It's not all we got, but it's a large portion of what we have. And so we're looking to have more solid, more stable emotions, because as I say, soulish based emotions go up and down, up and down, up and down. I don't know about you, but I'm so sick and tired of this cycle of being up, being down, being up, being down. It really is illustrated on this planet by the ocean, the sea. This is why on the new earth, there is no more sea. On the new earth, it's a solid mass, because the sea in type speaks of instability. It speaks of humanity. It's often used as a type of humanity. And humanity, I don't know if you've noticed, is up and down, madness. Humanity, for the most part today, is completely insane. And that's because they are focused completely on the soul. I just watched a video this morning of Pitbull. Don't ask me why. The rapper, he's a white rapper. Actually, he's Cuban. Lives in Miami, 20 miles south of here. I was reading about him in Wikipedia, and I watched one of his videos that was the fastest moving video in history. It got like 38 million views in the first 24 hours. It was called Slowly, Slowly. Look it up, slowly or don't. Because I watched this video and it was so fucking juvenile. So focused on emotions and people doing this and women dressed all and swimming pools, palm trees. God, this guy, I feel sorry for Pitbull. Yeah, he's hugely wealthy. He lives in Miami in an estate, got some gig on the ocean, some dig on the ocean. I don't know. I don't envy the guy at all. In fact, I pity the guy, because that's all the guy has got. Can you imagine making your living dependent on soul? The soul. Got to appeal to the soul. Got to make music that appeals to the soul. Got to have some guitar that makes people feel good. Got to have some women that makes people feel good. Got to have sunglasses to make me look completely cool. Got to rap. Got to do this. Wow, this video is sick. We're delivered from this. Oh my God, what a great blessing. God, don't watch it or do. What the hell? Tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna link to it down here. I think it has, like, right now it has 138 million views. My videos, which focus on the spirit, yes, my soul leaks through, as we talked about yesterday, but the facts, the bedrock, the foundation of me or should I say, my foundation is spirit. The soul comes in as a little spice because I can't help it. I'm still soulish predominantly. The spirit's growing more every day. But to be focused on that 100%, that's sad. Poor Pitbull. I would hate to be Pitbull. What a name too, Pitbull. So violent. He says he took the name Pitbull because a Pitbull bites and locks, right? You don't want to get bit by a Pitbull. It bites and locks. Pretty scary. I guess Pitbull, the rapper, the Cuban rapper, I guess he bites and locks. So watch out. If you watch a Pitbull video, you might get totally sucked into it. I think you're bigger than that, so there's the link if you want it. If we will not have souls in our spiritual bodies, what else will we not have? Soulish emotions. Now, we may have emotions, and yes, I say we definitely will have emotions that are in line with God's emotions, but they surely will not be soulish emotions. I agree with Gabe Alexander. This may be a good topic, he says, for you to address someday. Just a thought. Well, guess what? Today is the day I have addressed it. There's another half. I've only read half of this email. I'm going to have to save the second half of it for later, but it is really good. It has to do with those people who tell you that when they're confronted with your great intellect that is spiritually infused, and you bring them facts concerning the Word of God, facts such as God is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers, or God is operating all things in accord with the counsel of His will, Ephesians 1:11. Oh, no. They get all baby on you because it clashes with everything they believe in the Christian church, all the false doctrines that they embrace. It clashes with that. And then you start to tell them about translation issues with the word hell, and they really go into their corner then. And the only defense they have, because they cannot keep up with the intellect, they cannot keep up with the translation issues, they're just not freaking smart enough. So they immediately label you, oh, you're just too intellectual. And they say the spirit, the letter kills. You're confused. You're Martin Zenner, you big, smart, meanie. You are focusing on the letter, but the letter kills. The spirit brings life. Ooh, this is a really wacko defense. And when we look at the context, which I'm going to do on Monday, you will see that this context, this accusation, has no legs under it. It has no foundation whatsoever. As you would expect, it is a complete misunderstanding of the context. I'm a context freak. I'm going to go to the context on Monday. And for now, I just want you to know that do not depend on your emotions to either bring you the truth or cause you to worry if you lack them, because our life does not come from the soul. Our life comes from the spirit, and it comes to us in a beeline from the very creator of the universe. Ooh, I think that's even cooler than Pitbull.